to say something, or are you like intuitive that he's making a, you know, Tzedakah from his rabbi? Just let me know. Okay. I've been suggesting to people, I like, it's also good for shiduchim down the line. You know, have like a whole little group. Okay. Yeah. So the we're talking about Eved Kenani, just to finish that up, because we were kind of running in the end, and then I want to talk about the one little aspect that was brought to my attention, which I actually saw that I had here, but in a slightly different way. Exactly. So the last thing that we were discussing was that if you look at the sugya in Bava Kama, and certainly according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda really is of the opinion, sounds like Rabbi Yehuda, you know, in Boshas at least, is a din in Achba or Achicha, and the question whether Eved Kenani qualifies for that, etc. And then the confusion which arises is that the Rambam in Perek Tes, Hilchos Edus Halacha, Dalid, right, says, you know, Masisa Kashazam Lasos La'achiv, right? So he says it's an, sounds like he also connects to that pasuk. And again, the highlight is in the Lecha Mishnah, who basically says, you know, not only like, where did he get this pasuk from, exactly, but like, why isn't this a total stira, you know, to, you know, his psak in Hilchos Chovel, Perek Dalet, and Perek Gimel, where he says that the issue of busha depends on achicha, and the Rambam paskins that, you know, Eved Kenani is bechla. So what I was trying to point out was that both for Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, but especially for the Chachamim, but even for Rabbi Yehuda, the question of how much Eved Kenani is considered to be achicha is a complicated issue. And it should be a complicated issue, because whatever the argument between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim is, and it could be significant in weighing, you know, where you're going to go in the question of, you know, basically has Kedushas Yisrael but, or basically doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael but, or somewhere in the middle, meaning his status in Kedushas Yisrael, yes and no, is a complex one. Whatever you're going to go with that, right, everybody has to basically navigate, you know, some complex evidence. Like Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, as far as we know, are not arguing whether or not you need a tefillah shniyah one way or another, or whether it's drabbanan or d'oraisa. They could be. That would be fascinating. But we don't know that they are. And, you know, both of them, if they agree that there's a tefillah shniyah, and both of them, if they agree that they're, you know, the question of status with regard to shivchor or other thing, does it depend on shivchor? Does it depend on the tefillah? All the things that we've been, everybody agrees is miktsas mitzvos, and everybody agrees that, by definition, if there's miktsas mitzvos, then there's miktsas not mitzvos, right? So at the end of the day, everybody knows that Eved Kenani is lacking something, and everybody agrees that Eved Kenani is on the way, that, you know, part of Avdus is a pathway, let's say, to full Kedushas Yisrael in the end, and Miktsas Kedushas Yisrael in the interim. So having said that, again, it doesn't mean it's not a fundamental argument, but, you know, you're probably going to want to qualify a little bit. So with regard to Rabbi Yehuda, again, I don't want to repeat everything we said, that that's kind of what Tosis was asking. Tosis really zeroes in on that problem by saying, and what about Ribbis, and what about Onan, what about Tzedakah, and all those things. And Bali Tosis tried to hold a strong line, and that's fine. I'm not saying that we have to be cholek with that, although the Rishonim gave different answers. But, you know, there's something going on there even within Rabbi Yehuda. And the Rambam highlights that there's something going on even within the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. So the short part of the story, I guess, would be to say what I was trying to say in the end, which is that, you know, one, just to say it in a clear way, which may not be fully accurate, one way to look at the achicha problem, we have achicha b'mitzvos, and, you know, in other contexts too. And maybe the initial point is like, oh, vis-a-vis the Yisrael relating to the Eved Kenani, like, he doesn't have the obligation, or he doesn't see him as achicha. But that's a little bit different than the question, objectively, is the Eved Kenani achicha, or is the Eved Kenani vis-a-vis the Yisrael, you know, achiv? Like, in which direction does it go? Is it really about him, or is it about the relationship? And so on. And just technically, when the Rambam says, you know, seems to say what Rabbi Yehuda says, right, in fact, he's really highlighting it in the opposite way. Because originally the Gemara said, oh, you can't have hazama case, right, if the baldavar is an eved, you know, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it says vasisa, you know, vasisa lo kashazama lasos la achiv. So the achiv there, who's not really an achiv, which is the problem, is the eved kanani. What the Rambam's saying is not that the achiv is not the eved kanani, but that the aid, right, who's being made about the achiv, is not dome lo. And I think that that's not a small point. And then when you go back and you say that even in Rabbi Yehuda, there's a big debate among the Rishonim, what does it mean, right? He doesn't have, you know, his children are not brothers to each other. He doesn't have chayas, you know, all those different. The point is that there are different notions of what achicha is. And at the end of the day, what the Rambam is trying to say is that there's a problem of being a ben bris. And being a ben bris, especially the way that we've described it, in terms of, you know, the complexity of his Kedushas Yisrael, that is really the issue, and that differentiates, I think, Rabbi Yehuda from the Chachamim, and it differentiates, but is consistent, differentiates the Rambam from other Rishonim, but makes his view very consistent. Again, I don't want to go through the whole thing again, but that's really what we were trying to do. So the question that arose at the end of the shiur was, somebody asked about Shifcha. So Shifcha Kananis, is there any difference between Eved and Shifcha? Right? I think, who asked it? Nathan? Asked me. Yeah, and then I think Noah and others were asking me about this as well. Did somebody say the Ramach says it explicitly? I couldn't find the Ramach. He doesn't really say that. He asked from the Gemaras, I mean. He means asking from those Gemaras. That's what you mean? What? The ones that we saw?
Yeah,
but he doesn't actually say, he doesn't make the suggestion that Shifcha is different than Eved. He's asking from the Rambam's Eved, he's asking from Shifcha.
Yeah, on the Rambam.
Yeah, because those are the Gemaras. Right, okay. No, good. So on the contrary, it's assuming that they're the same. Right. I thought you were trying to tell me that the Ramach himself makes a suggestion that Shifcha might be different. Right, okay. I mean, I'm saying the Gemara on Mem in Gittin, which is one of the questions that he's asking, is a Gemara about Shifcha. Okay. Yeah, so I looked at it again. Okay, so this is a very intriguing question, and I think it both brought to my attention, then I looked it up and I saw that I actually have a whole thing on that, and that is, there's a tshuva of the Avnei Nezer. I think it both brought to my attention, before we get to the tshuva of the Avnei Nezer, that the Maiser Rokeach and that the Chazon Ish, right? I don't have the Chazon Ish in my Reb Chaim either, so I didn't get a chance to look at it, but the Chazon Ish on Reb Chaim asks, well, why wouldn't you distinguish between Eved Kanani and Shivcha Kananis? And that the Maaser Rokeach makes that suggestion as well, and that the Avnei Nezer, not for the Rambam, that's why I didn't, I was a little bit off on that one, but in Simen Shin Nun, 100% on the Gemaras, I mean, he's bothered by the steers in the Gemara. The Gemaras that sound like everything depends on Shichrur are Gemaras about Shivcha Kananis. The Gemara says here, Yevamos mem zayin rebeis, b'mokrim shanida toveles, shom ger v'evin m'shurchor tovlim, tamua, k'mo sheik shabatosa b'sholeach, daf mem, and kedushin samach beis amid beis, and yitzricha tvila imkein miyemer demizdaki la tlasa. So the Avnei Nezer has this line, 100%, lule demistafina havamina l'chalek bein eved l'shivcha, d'shivcha hi mechuyeves b'mitzvos k'mo ha-yisraelis, and then he explains, So this is a very remarkable Avnei Nezer. He actually makes this suggestion, and apparently Chazon Ish didn't make the suggestion, but he said if Reb Chaim is right, we'll talk about it in one more second, that this should be the case, and he's bothered by it. And I guess the Maaser Rokeach does make the suggestion, right? Yeah. I think it's very difficult to say that in the Rambam. without the Rambam saying it. But the Avnei Nezer doesn't say it for the Rambam, but he says, Lulei de Mistafina. I mean, according to the Avnei Nezer, everything in Eved depends on Giyur, the Tzvila Shnia, and everything in Shifcha depends on Shichrur. And the idea is because the level of mitzvos is the same. And again, the Chazon Ish apparently understood Reb Chaim this way, as apparently, I'm not sure if it's fair to say this, to say that Adam understood it this way, but at least partially. Certainly not the Rav way, or the way that I was suggesting for Reb Chaim. So again, if you think that, so I just want to clarify this point, if you think that there is no aspect of Shiur Goyus at all, or per se, like a limitation in full Kedushas Yisrael in the Giyur, right, of an Eved, other than the reality, right, that it only results in Miktsas Mitzvos, right, Ki'isha, La, right, if you take that view, so then what the Avnei Nezer, Maaser Rokeach, Chazon Ish are reading in Reb Chaim make a lot of sense. Meaning what you're saying is that the limitation in mitzvos, whatever causes it, just doesn't address that part of it. Like, why is there a limitation in mitzvos for Avnei Kanan? Right, maybe because Mitzvah Seisha is Mangram, again, he has a different owner, and that limits, unlike the fact that paradigm, which doesn't limit Kedushas Yisrael, but if you think that it's a causal factor, or that the mitzvahs themselves are the story, but otherwise there is no problem per se of avdus in terms of Kiddushas Yisrael, and there's no problem of giur of an eved in terms of immediate Kiddushas Yisrael, so then this conclusion is very fine and good, namely that a shivcha is going to have full mitzvahs of a regular Yisraelis, and therefore, again, the only dinim that impede her is her status as a shivcha, and that's gone in the case of shichur. So that really is the basis for all of this. Personally, in Reb Chaim, I don't think that that is what he's saying. I think it is true in Reb Chaim that, in the Chibor at least, that he avoids saying that there's a tzad goy. I think that is true. He does certainly illustrate the flaw in full Kedushas Yisrael by the fact that there is miktsas mitzvos. But and I'll say a third thing, because upon reading it again, it struck me very much, what he really expends a lot of effort on is precluding the idea that the Tvila Shnia, right, or that the completion of the Giyur has anything to do with the Hafkos Avdus. Right? He wants to make that perfectly clear, that Hafkos Avdus is gone at Shichur, and that this is all about completing the fullness of Kedushas Yisrael. But I still don't get the impression from Reb Chaim, and this is just, instinct, that he would be mechalek between. I don't think it's fair to say, well, if Reb Chaim's right, then you have to be mechalek between Eved Kenani and Shifcha. Because I still think that the point in Reb Chaim is not the fact of limited mitzvos, but the limited mitzvos for a male Eved is an indication that from the state of Avdus, you can't have a direct full Kedushas Yisrael. And therefore you need a completion. And while that expresses itself in the male in a very concrete way, and maybe not in the female, right, I don't think that makes a difference in Reb Chaim. That's my instinct. Let me just add, could it be true, for example, that Reb Chaim would say what the Rav always said, the Rav certainly thought it was consistent, which is that there's a fundamental difference between the tour of Mitzvah Seishas Man Groma for Eben and for Isha, that for Isha it's a tour Gavra, and that for Eved it's a Hafgos, or it's an incompleteness of Kedushas Yisrael. I think the answer is yes. I mean, I can't prove it in Reb Chaim. It's certainly not in that piece. He doesn't discuss it one way or another. But I think that that is still very logical. I think the Rav thought that that's what Reb Chaim meant. I don't think he just thought that what he was saying was different than Reb Chaim. It doesn't really matter, that part of it, but I think that fits in. And if that fits in, then that part, of course, is applicable fully to Shifcha Knanis every bit as much as it is to Eved. Shifcha Knanis has law, doesn't have a nikar difference maybe in minyan mitzvos, so there might be some things also there. But in the end of the day, right, the fact that in one case there's a kiyum, let's say mitzvah shezman grama, and the others is a hafka, right, is an indication that even shifcha knanis is not the same as isha for the very same reason. So I part company. I don't think that the Chazon Ish is... I understand where it's coming from. I think it highlights something important, but I think that that's what Reb Chaim would probably or likely would likely say. Having said that, I think the fact that Reb Chaim works so hard to dispel what is a seemingly a strange notion, let's say that, namely that the Tevila Shnia has anything to do with Hafkas Avdus, and he keeps, you know, being bothered by this and trying to prove it more and more, I think is significant for my suggestion. So let's hold off on that for a minute. Okay, so that's the Avnei Nezer, the Maaser Okeach, the Chazon Ish. Again, according to them, mitzvos, let me just bring out one other point. The reality of how many mitzvos you have a certain effect in Kedushas Yisrael. It's not a reflection at all, but let's say it is a cause. I think that a lot of evidence could be brought that that part is true, but usually it's a cause and a reflection. In this particular case, their view is that it's only reflection, and therefore you would make this distinction. And I'm suggesting for Reb Chaim that it is a cause and a reflection, that maybe there's this nafka mina with regard to mitzvah seishes van grama. As an example, I'm sure there are other nafka minas as well. And that in the end of the day, even for Reb Chaim, this is not the case. The second view, which we talked about, is the Rav's view, which is that there's a shiur of Kedushas Yisrael. He understood Reb Chaim this way, clearly, and that the shiur of Kedushas Yisrael, again, isn't result, but reflected, but even more, that it's a tzad goyus that doesn't get dispelled as a result of that. That incomplete Kedushas Yisrael is a remnant, let's say, of tzad goy. And that's how he wanted to explain Perek Tes Halacha Dalid, the Kal V'chomer to Nachri, and that is important. That's an important perspective as well. And that was his sheet. My personal view, as I explain, is that you know, something kind of, I would say, in between those two, something quite different from those two, and that is the idea that Eved itself is the ikuv of Kedushas Yisrael. And that has to do with, I say, Yitzias Mitzrayim and Maimed Har Sinai and Ein Ben Chorin and Avadim La'avadai, all the things that I think, you know, fundamentally interfere with that category of pure Kedushas Yisrael. So the benefit that I have from all this is to have a little bit of my cake and eat it too, to say that the Eved part is not a dinin Eved or shame Eved alone, which it would be, for example, for the Ramach, for the Ravid, you know, for the Bali Tosis, for all those who think that there's full Kedushas Yisrael, and that, let's say, the Tevila Shniyah is only a Din Rabbanan, etc. But a little bit, you could explain what Reb Chaim was bothered by, let's say, going back to my Hara a second ago, which is maybe you might think that the Tevila Shnia is something that is relevant to Hafkas, Shem Eved. Why would anybody think that? What does Avdus and Cherus have to do with Gerus or Tevila, which is a category that belongs? And again, the Rambam himself calls it in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah, right? The completion of the Gerus, Kashem, Kashem. And so on. But according to what I'm suggesting, which is that the Din Eved isn't just a Din Eved, but the Din Eved, even if it doesn't retain a Tzad Goy, retains or prevents full Kedushas Yisrael and has the equivalent of preventing him from being a full Ben Bris, that ends up being something that is relevant to Geirus. Right? That's why you need Geirus, still, because that's why the original Geirus was incomplete, and that is also, you might have thought, a factor in Geirus. Although I don't think that halacha, you have to say that in the Rambam, and I don't think that's what the Rambam is saying. Well, the other benefit I get is I'm able to explain Tess Dalin, the Kal V'Chomer, because the common denominator isn't Tzad Goy, it's Tzad Eino Ben Bris. And I'm also able to explain the phenomenon in the Rambam, which is rampant, and that is that the Rambam, even possibly where he requires tvila, often seems to focus on the shichrur, and in some cases only needs tvila, in cases where it would be that you are omed, let's say, lios, full kedushas yisra. So that really is just to put in perspective. And of course, according to what I'm saying, there's certainly no difference between an eved and a bas and a shifcha. That of course would not apply at all. So having said that, let me just mention two other things very quickly. Number one, I mentioned one thing I'm going to speak about a little tomorrow, but I was talking about we spent a few weeks on Birkas HaTorah. So there's an interesting discussion in the Prima Gadim about whether Eved Kanani should say Birkas HaTorah or not. After all, La Miisha. And, but is it the same or not? And that spurred, a whole interesting literature after him. So he himself has a comment where he says that Eved Kanani are B'nai Tfila, and people who think that say that Isha is included in Birkas HaTorah because she's included in Tfila, right, which like she says the Parshas HaTamid and all those, that's one of the deos that is given in the poskim, so that tuadin legai David Kanani. But with respect to being a having a chiyuv in Talmud Torah per se, like a ben Torah or ben Talmud Torah, he doesn't say how he knows this. He says, well, that of course applies to Isha, but she's a bas Talmud Torah, I guess, but not to Eved Kanani. So that's an interesting idea, which actually parallels the Rav's idea about chiyuvim and kiyumim, or pturim yet kiyumim, when it comes to things like mitzasasei shazman grama. Again, the gra likes the reasoning that Isha says birchas haTorah, because especially if you hold like chachmei Ashkenaz v'Tzarfat, that she makes a bracha mitzasasei shazman grama, so whatever pturim there are, they're still kiyumim. That's what he assumes. But again, maybe that's absolutely not true when it comes to Eved Kanani. So two other things, or three other things just to look at or think about, which I don't want to go into in great depth, but is the Rambam in Perek Yudal, two Rambams in Perek Yudal in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, that I was looking at again. One is Perek Yudal Halacha Tes, and the other Halacha Yud Aleph. So Yud Dalid Tes speaks about, again, the process of an Eved who's going to undergo tvila l'shem avdus. This is stage one, not stage two, right? Ha'eved ha'nilkach minagoyim ein omrim lo mara isa shabasa. Ela omrim ritzoncha shetikanes bechlal avde Yisrael v'tia minakshirim olo. So this whole formulation, where does it come from in the Rambam? Like, what is this? And what does this mean that you should say to the Eved, right, do you want to be Bechlal Avde Yisrael V'tia Minaksherim? And then, of course, in Imratza Modinos, so Ikar Adas, Mitzas Mitzas Kalos V'Chamburos, Od Shonuskorin Kamosha Midin Nisager, Umat Bilinos, so Kiger Modinos, Ikashu B'mayim, and so on. Lo Ratza, then Megalgalin all of you, Beis Chodesh, and the whole business based on the Gemara's and Yimalas. But this formulation of telling the Eved that you're Bechlal Avde Yisrael Haksherim is very intriguing, right? For example, according to the Ramach and the Raivin and those who think that it's Yisrael Gomor, but you're also an Eved, but Hai L'chu Dekoi V'Hai L'chu Dekoi. I mean, the Geirus and the Kedushas Yisrael part is one thing, and the Avdus part is it affects plenty, but it's something else, but you don't tell the Eved that B'Shas Geiruso. But if you think that, there is fundamentally either Miktas Kedushas Yisrael that is missing, and maybe according to me even more so. If you think that is because the Shem Eved itself is what impedes Miktas Kedushas Yisrael, so this idea of saying to him, you're Bechlal and you're Geirus, Bechlal Avde Yisrael Haksherim, Makes a lot of sense. Second one, of course, is again just on that other list of, just one more second, of tvila versus shichrur in halacha yud aleph. Gershin is gayer ve'evet shenishtachrer harehu kekatan shenolad. V'chol sher basa shehoyelo kishuhu gay o kishuhu eved einan she'er basar. Ah. So again, you know, the Gemara always has this line about Gershon is Gayer Kekatan Shenolad. But do we really compare Gershon is Gayer and Eved Shenishtachrer? Or Gershon is Gayer and Eved, you know, Nitsha Taval Tvila Shnia? So I was looking for, people don't mostly speak about it. In the back, in the Frankel Rambam, I was looking to see if anybody talks about it. Quote some sefer that I'm not aware of. I'm not familiar with somebody, Yeshua, somebody or other, who does seem to, talk about this question. But I think, again, it goes on the list. And this one is particularly acute because we're comparing to Ger Shenisgayer. So it should be Ger Shenisgayer and Eved Shenitbal. But if the whole idea is that really the ikuv of Hul Kedushas Yisrael of a Gerus Shlema Mitchila was the Shechor, and you still need the Tvila because you have to, follow through and complete that and initiate it. But there are already halachos bizman shichror, even Kedushas Yisrael halachos that apply, including things like, the Tfisas Kedushin for, Knisa Lekahal. And what we mean by the shichror here is, of course, there needs to be the tvila, but the mechayev is the shichror part when there is a tvila, which we tried to show was certainly the pshat if you have the girsa in Tess, Hilchos Eidos Halach above, and also in Hilchos Geneva, that some of the other examples that we gave, then this language of the Rambam is once again something which is very reasonable. So Yud Dalid Tess and Yud Dalid Yud Aleph are relevant. The other thing to mention, Cooper, this is not Tanya, also brought to my attention about Shlichos. It's something to talk about also, and that is that the Rambam here says that Eved Kenani is not a Bet Bris. And then he says, Kal v'chomer, that an Akum is also not a Bet Bris. Right? Again, if you thought that the pshat in the Rambam was that there's a shiur of Goyus, so you're saying, oh, it's the Tzad Goy Shabo, and therefore Kal v'chomer ba'akum. But especially if you think that a Bet Bris, not being a Bet Bris means not being a full Bet Bris, not being a full Achicha, again, in the way that we've said it, not like Rabbi Huda even, but like the Chachamim or within the Chachamim, maybe even getting it from the Tudeos in our Gemara, in the Gemara, I should say, in Bava Kamma, only seems like our Gemara because we spent a few days on it, in Peches. So then, again, this phrase, Ben Bris, and everything that goes along with it, and the connection to Eved Kenani and to Goy becomes much more, again, meaningful and much more, provocative, let's say, whenever you find it. So Natan just brought to my attention a good pa'ara, and that is that when it comes to shlichus, right there the Rambam's formulation, based on other things, is, in Hukos shluchim v'shutfim, is that a goy is excluded, one second, a goy is excluded from shlichus because he's not a ben bris. And that an Eved and a Shivcha, of course, could be a Shliach. And he even addresses it. This is a Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph. In Hukos Shluchim V'Shutfim. Eina Akum Nasa Shliach L'Davar Min Advarim Sheba'olam. V'chein Ein Yisrael Nasa Shliach L'Akum L'Davar Min Advarim Shenemar. Kein Terimu Gam Atem Ma'atem B'nei Bris Pasukin Trumos. Af shluchachem b'nei bris. V'hu adin b'chol Torah kula. Ma mishalachachem ben bris, af b'chol Torah kula, ha mishalach ben bris. Then halacha beis, osa adam shliach isho isha, afilu eish asish, afilu eved v'shivcha, ho v'hein b'nei das, v'yeshnon b'miktsas mitzvos, nasin shluchim l'masu matan. So again, the language of the Rambam is very meduyak in a way. He doesn't say that Eved is a Ben Bris, right? But he's contrasting it with a Goy. The answer is, a Goy is Mufka Lagamri from being a Ben Bris. And the status of an Eved is that he's not fully a Ben Bris, but he is B'miktsas Mitzvos. So it's very meduyak. V'hein b'nei das, v'yeshnan b'miktsas Mitzvos. Right? By the way, it's also interesting. He talks here about Eved v'shivcha. Right? It's Eved, then Shivcha. And he says they're yeshnan b'miktsas Mitzvos. Right? It's... he doesn't say that Shivcha is Bekula Mitzvos. Right? Or Bekol Mitzvos. Shalom Lekeva. Nas and Shluchan Amaso Matan. So, again, this is an example, because when it comes to, you know, those aspects, the Eved really does have Miktsas Kedushas Yisrael. So it's curious, of course, what's interesting is that when it comes to Gittin V'Kedushin, the Gemara says that Eved is Mufka because they're Einan B'Toras Gittin V'Kedushin. And there would be interesting to note whether that's just a kind of a separate miut, Einan B'Toras, or the Einan B'Toras there is that, you know, vis-a-vis Gittin V'Kiddushin, they're not a B'nai Bris, because they don't have full Kiddushis Yisrael, there's no Kinesa L'Kol. So in general, whenever we have the din of Einan B'Toras, we have... Oh, we're back? What, we're doing sheer care on... pictures? Okay. You have to send it out with, you know, on the sheer WhatsApp, right? You know, come all, you know, come one, come all. So I turned back. I thought I was going to see, you know, the Rambam and Chol Shul Fit. Instead, I'm seeing like a YU advertisement or something. Yeah. So I think that that's also an interesting perspective, you know, to pursue. Okay. Fine. So now let's move on to the next issue. And that is the issue of Antlar. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you had a question before. Yeah.
This is a question I was trying to ask last time. Is Rebbe's opinion about the first tevila, is that like a sheretz in the mikveh type analog?
No.
No.
I don't. Well, I mean, a tovel b'sheretz b'yado is worthless. So that would
right.
Be
no. I mean, so I mean, like, with, there are different reasons why it could be worthless. One is like the mikveh thing works. It's just it keeps hitting up against the sheretz.
Right, but either way, it's just nothing happens there. So whatever it is that the sheretz does, you know, in the end of the day, what you've done has been meaningless. What we're saying here is, I mean, what the Rambam says here, and it has nothing to do with me. I mean, I'm suggesting an explanation for how some of these factors come together, which obviously I believe in. But the Rambam says that Tevila Rishona of a Eved is Miktsas Geirus. So clearly, if it's Miktsas Geirus, there's a Chalos Tevila, and there's some sort of a Geirus, and sort of Miktsas Kedushas Yisrael. The only question is that the Rambam requires Tevila Shnia Midaraisa, and he calls that, you know, the completion of the geirus. But again, he describes part one as kashem, that there is a mila and a tzvila for a regular geirus. So too, there is a mila and a tzvila, or in the case of a shivcha, a tzvila for a shivcha. So that kashem, and calling it miktsas geirus, and it triggering, you know, chi of miktsas Yisrael, and allowing the person to be a shliach, you know, and many other things, to have the status of Yisrael for many, many dinim, that's not comparable to Tovah B'Sheretz B'Yado, which gives you, for whatever reason, zero. It totally undermines. How it undermines is a good question, but that's not our topic right now. But it neutralizes. There's no chalos, you know, tahara or tvila, right, if you're Tovah B'Sheretz B'Yado. But here, you just don't get the full result. And we're trying to figure out, you know, you don't get the full result because you're still an Eved. You don't get the full result because you're still a Goy. You don't get the full result because there's no full Chi of a Mitzvos. You don't get the full results because the lack of full Mitzvos is an indication that it takes more than one step, you know, to do this. Or what I'm saying, which is you don't get the full result because Eved itself is an impediment to full Kedushas Yisrael. So it isn't the shame Eved alone, it's the shame Eved as an impediment of Kedushas Yisrael. These are all different, subtle ways to navigate all this, you know, mixed evidence to try to explain in the best possible way, one of the five ways, or whatever it is, with Nafkamina, as we know, like, you know, including the things that we've been talking about, what's happening here. But something happened here. More happened than didn't happen here, because an Eved Kenani, you know, has a real different status. In you know, again, if the Eved Kenani doesn't, according to the Rambam, the mixas geiros of the Eved Kenani is only beratzon. That's a debate in the Rishonim, but that's how the Rambam paskins. So, and if you don't want it, you know, then it's not going to happen. So it's a huge, you know, step. And it's a gateway into Kedushas Yisrael, and it has already mixed us Kedushas. Everybody agrees it's mixed us Kedushas Yisrael. The only question is, like, what about the rest of it, and why, and how, and right. And whatever. So I don't, I mean, if you want to, I don't think it's a good comparison, because in that case, it's zero, right. Yeah, for whatever reason. Good. Let us, okay. So, Nady, let's start with you. So let's talk about the next issue, which is the issue of representation, right? I don't know how many, you know, people want to go to law school here, and, you know, this is the right time, you know, to talk about that. I'm just joking. But, like, what is the status of a lawyer, basically, or a representative, you know, in halakha, right? So this is one of the sugyas in which this is discussed. So what is discussed, and what do you think? What are the issues? I'm going to hand the shiur over to Nady now. Okay. Like, you've always been waiting for this opportunity, no?
Maybe he needs to work on his mind reading skills.
What?
Maybe he needs to work on the mind reading.
Okay, that's okay. You know, you don't need mind reading. You just have to tell me what you think. So what's the story? If I said to you, Nady, you know, what's the status of a lawyer in the halakha? So, you know, you could start from any place you want, but I just want to do it very quickly, but I want to do just get some of the issues out there. What are some of the issues? How does it come up in our sugya? Because our Gemara says, right, this idea, in the Shakla Vitaria of Yomdu Shnei Anoshim Bedin, right? Right? The Gemara has, you have the line there in the Gemara? Okay. The Gemara has the line that, you know, is the pasuk talking about Edim? Is the pasuk talking about Bali Dinim? Right? They, you know, do Bali Dinim always show up in court? What's the story with all that? Right? Go ahead. Go ahead. What do you have there? So just read the important line for a second, and then we'll talk about the Rishonim. That's an interesting question. Go ahead. Yeah, keep going. Here's where the key line is, right? Vim nashkolomar. Good. So that's what we're up to right now. So what's the key line? The Gemara has a Havamina, right? That what? That maybe women, because of Kofu de Basmelach Pnima, don't come to Din. So then the question is, if they don't come to din, how do they get their, how do they get justice? Right? So Tosas says, Tosas actually is bothered by the Edom part. Quite to say the same thing by Edom. And we tried to parlay that into a perspective on the psul of Edos Nashim. Right? Maybe in fact it is based on Kol Kvuda. What does Tosas say? Go ahead. What's the key line in Tosas? Don't read the whole Tosas, just then. Kol Kvuda Basmel Pnima, right?
Exactly.
So what does that mean? It works. There is representation. She can have her lawyer go to court and testify on her behalf. That's what it seems. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So who disagrees? Does anybody disagree? Isn't that full proof in the Gemara? First of all, is that full proof in the Gemara? Or not? I mean, it sounds pretty good, right? Because if they don't come to court, then who's going to testify on their behalf? Right. Except that you could say one of two things. Number one, that maybe this is only a Havamin in the Gemara, but once the Gemara says that Amdu Shnei Anashim, the din is about Edim, and it's Mimayit Nashim in that way, maybe the whole thing is not correct. Maybe it's not acceptable for Nashim who have a din Torah, right, not to come to court, meaning to appoint someone. I mean, they can always not come to court if they want to be mevater, they want to give up on their case. But obviously, that's not such a good solution. We're not talking about that. Stine Mominus, anybody can decide not to press charges, right? But we're not talking about that. But maybe lemaskanas haGemara, this is what you would have thought, and maybe that's not true lemaskan. That's what some rishonim suggest, right? Or something very close to that. And that is, well, what's something close to that? Another way to neutralize the Gemara. Even the Gemara says it, but it's lav dafka lahalacha. Doesn't retain, you know, doesn't get, it gets edited out in the maskana of the Gemara. That's one of the deos in the Rishonim, right? The Meiri holds that lahalacha. The Ramban, we'll see in a moment, if somebody can get open the Ramban, makes that suggestion as well. What's another possibility, Avram?
I mean, the Ramban says, O de del ha'afi kamar in der ha'in nashim ha'ho,
what that they won't come but they'll lose their case?
Yeah, so they won't. Not that we only say they shouldn't come because of that. And usually they don't.
Well, maybe it's the minog that you know that kachabe.
Right.
You know, but so but you have to add something which the Ritva adds, which the Aaron.
Yeah, that the Tobeya in that case agreed to let the
maybe the minog was exactly 100%. So again, the Meiri takes the view, and it's also in the Ramban and some of the other Chachmei Sfarad, the first view, which is that maybe the halacha, maybe in the Maskan of the Gemara, that line is struck from the record. That's the Meiri's conclusion. He really holds that way, the halacha, the Meiri. He really says that a woman cannot appoint a Toein, right? Because for whatever reason, we'll discuss that second. I, the Gemara shall all leave the Hilkasa. That's the Meiri. And that's hinted at already in the Ramban, but the Meiri really holds that way. Inami, kind of what Avram was saying, but with a combination of what Avram and Aaron were saying. And that is that this Gemara is telling you what was min hagan shall, you know, hakihilos. But maybe that minhag is contingent upon the agreement of the Toveya. I mean, if the Toveya says that a woman can come, that the women don't have to come to court, that they can send a lawyer, so maybe that works. Maybe they don't have the right to do that either. We'll see in a second. But certainly it's much easier to justify if the other party allows it, especially in Dini Mamadis, right? So if it's okay with the Toveya, then the Nitva can send a lawyer, or maybe or vice versa as well. But if they want to be Omeid al Zechusan, they want to go according to Meikra Didina, so maybe that's not true, right? That's explicitly what the Ritva and some of the other Rishonim say is going on. Yeah.
Is it possible that Shliach Beis Din and Tosos is the same thing as an honor?
So it seems like Tosos is not. We'll see in a moment that the Chachmei Sfarad in particular, we're mechalek between a Shliach Beis Din, like a Sofer Beis Din, and an Antler. But it sounds like Tosos is not. To me, it sounds like Tosas is not making that distinction. In a second, we'll see anyway that other Rishonim are very clear about it. But Avaladin, I mean, the language, Avaladin, Yechola Lim Sartanosa, Biyad Acher is not necessarily Shliach Bez. To me, in other words, the idea of Shliach Bez being different is the idea that this isn't your lawyer, and it's not a court-appointed lawyer, by the way, either. Meaning, it's a representative of the Bezdin. You know, it's like, does Bezdin make house calls? You know, for the Kabbalas HaTvios, you know, Bezdin, it's occasionally, always will make house calls. That's different. It doesn't sound that that's what Tosos is saying. In the end, it doesn't matter so much. I mean, it's interesting historically to see, you know, who said what. I think in the absence of such a distinction, we should assume that Tosos means a representative. But we'll see in a moment that there was shown him anyway who say that. Yeah. I don't think that that's what it sounds like. Biyad Acher. I mean, it's possible to read that way. And we'll see in a moment what the connection is between Mipiyam Velom Piksavam, Piyam Velom Piyam Returgaman, and Antler. But I don't think that that is the pashtus of Tosus, although I could take Shvuah D'Oraisa on it. I don't think the pshat is, oh, she sends a ksav through somebody. Interesting. Maybe. Possible. I don't think it's a simple reading. You think it's a simple reading?
That was my first project when I read
it. That's so interesting. I guess you're, because you're very, you know, you're thinking about, you know, the Sugin Makos, you know, and Rabbeinu Tam, I guess, right? You know, Kosei Bodom Igeres, you know, Lebezdin.
That works well with Rabbeinu Tam.
What?
It works very well with Rabbeinu Tam.
Yeah, it works perfectly with Rabbeinu Tam. Just that Rabbeinu Tam, and it could be true, even if you don't like Rabbeinu Tam for din, for the Baal din, even if it isn't true for the Aden. No, I'm saying I know where you get it from, and I hear it. I don't think instinctively that that's the, you know, simple shot of what those words mean. But I think it's interesting that you read it that way, and I definitely can't tell you for sure that it isn't. Either way, it's an interesting question, meaning can a Baldavar send a Ksav, a taina, again, the Rabbeinu Tam that we're talking about for anybody who, I think we've mentioned it earlier, whatever, is that when it comes to Eidos, which we'll get to in just a second, we're not going to elaborate extensively, but when it comes to Eidos, right, we have a din, the Gemara in Gittin has this rule that, you know, an Elaim is excluded from Eidos because can't write a deposition and send it in mipiem velo mipi ksavam. The Rishonim all asked the question, well, you know, what about Shtaros? Rashi in his Perush al Torah, right, says, and again, you don't usually get this in such a, you know, strong worded, you know, psak oriented Rashi in Perush al Torah. So it just shows, and it was, I can tell you that, a huge issue, especially when you know, communities start being more, you know, spread out, and the question of, you know, the whole Bezdin system, you know, really presupposes in many ways, the Kablan Adam Shalom of Baldin, you know, and Mipiyam Balom Mipiksavam, the whole Bezdin system presupposes physical presence. That becomes very difficult to accomplish, you know, once a Jewish community is far flung. And there's, or even if it's local, but there's a lot of traveling going on, so the ability to, you know, to, you know, to find other mechanisms for a Baal Dovar or for Edim, you know, to testify, for that matter, you know, for to expand Shlichos, that's part of the story of Harsha, as well, becomes like a much, you know, it becomes a very acute problem, you know, as time goes on in Jewish communities. You know, demographics and its patterns of commerce and so on change. So Rashi writes, you know, that you should know, you know, you can't do this. And Rabbeinu Tam says, of course, that you can, and that the Gemara in Gittin is either only talking about Elaim. Mordechai has a suggestion for Rabbeinu Tam that, you know, maybe there's a difference between Dinim Amos and Dinim Nefashos, which is also fascinating. It seems like Rabbeinu Tam was working hard to try to justify what was being done, and looking again at the evidence in that way. But obviously that's regarding Eidus, and the question is whether the status of Baldavar is the same. So that's part, a little bit, that certainly is also our topic. Namely, what about a Baldavar Biksab, and what about a Baldavar Bin Ayidei Maturgaman, and what about a Baldavar Ayidei Shliach Bezin, and what about a Baldavar Ayidei a lawyer, and Antler. So again, just to answer the question, I personally think that Limsar Tanoseha Biyad Acher most likely means a representative. Either way, in the end of the day, we'll see in a moment that that is a huge machlokas harishonim. So even if Tosis is not saying that, it's covered in the main, you know, view of the rishonim. But I think it's very intriguing that you're reading it that way, and I definitely couldn't dismiss it. And definitely, it is an issue also whether you can be kosei divrei tainos bebez. And we'll see that in a couple of minutes with the ritva in Makos. Yeah.
I just wanted to ask about the. About the scope of the authorization to a shliach or a lawyer. Rebbe says they're representing them. Are they? I mean, in the American system, an advocate is basically supposed to come up with the best theory,
right? So we'll get to
the questions of law as well as questions of fact, right?
Right. Well, the questions of fact is a big ethical issue in any legal system, including the American system. But meaning, are you know, would you know a lawyer who are legally bound to provide the best possible defense or to best possible representation, you know, but what happens when that collides with, you know, his knowledge,
right.
You know, that something is either unlikely or wrong. I mean, there are ethical issues,
right.
Obviously, limitations. What they are is very murky, obviously.
As if, advocates as opposed to, basically the closest thing to...
Yeah, so in the halacha, we'll see the idea that, you know, midbar sheker tirchot is a pretty strong notion in the halacha, obviously. But we'll see that is an issue. That's a question. And also, what are we talking about if we're talking about a representative? Are we talking about a morsha? Are we talking about a, shliach be'edim? You know, a morsha is...
Oh,
an
heir, sorry.
Harsha.
Yeah.
It's, a higher level. Well, we'll talk about it more in Lamed Gimel, but we'll... Here, again, I don't want to get into that here right now, except to note that might be different. In the Rishonim's discussion here, we find interchangeably, but they're not necessarily interchangeable, in the discussion. Sometimes shliach, sometimes shliach al yedei edim, and sometimes a discussion of morsha. And there really might be differences between them. It's not so relevant to what we're discussing right now, where you draw that line, but I'll make a quick... morsha is typically something where there's a kinyan. This is based on the Gemara Daf Ayin in Bava Kama, and the second most important Gemara about it, maybe the second or third, we could debate that, whether it's the Diukni Gemara in Agozel Kama or the Harsha Gemara here on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph in Shavuos, which is where we're going to talk about it more. We already alluded to it a little bit, you know, the difference between Shliach and Morsha when it comes to Mipia Tobeya as a requirement in Shavuos Ha'edos. That's where it comes up. But the point is that Morsha, according to the Gemara Bava Kama, requires some sort of a Malamor aside, I'll explain what I mean when we get there, more of a kinyan, more of a stronger empowerment of some sort. Some of the Rishonim even here say it's more than that. You make him into the collector, you know, into the almost into the Baldavar, make him into the Baldavar. Maybe that's part of the answer here. But so again, whether we're talking about it matters, and you'll see a little bit of that. I just don't want to get too bogged down, you know, with that. What I'm really interested in the moment is, I mentioned the question that we've touched on a few times already, and it's our next little topic too, about Amida, and that is, are there formal dinim of Baldavar? Right, that there are formal dinim of Dayanim and formal dinim of Edom, we know. Are there formal Balei Dinim requirements, aside from the issues of everybody getting a fair shake, you know, that there's no mistakmen tanase, meaning nobody feels intimidated. In other words, the climate in the court that allows for people to, express themselves, you know, freely, you know, and comfortably, so that the case, you know, can be heard, you know, with the greatest amount of confidence and also objectively, the greatest amount of, let's say, accuracy or so on. So that those dinam abal dinam we have even on the page here, we have them in Sanhedrin, right? The betzedek tishpot amisecha. We'll go through that a little bit. The equal treatment of the balei dinam, all things being equal, again providing that kind of a climate. So is that that's part of it. But aside from that, are there formal dinam of Baal Davar? Does he have to stand? And again, is that posture important, or it's, again, part of the other issue that we just talked about? Similarly, do we care whether or not he, Dafka, appears, that he articulates his view? What about a Meturgaman? What about a representative? Again, if it's all about, an accurate presentation of his case, and very important, and this is where what you said is important, balanced by midvar sheker tirchak, trying to keep it, on the one hand, the best possible presentation for him, at the same time, ethically, sanctioned, then there are going to be limitations. There's going to be a lot of flexibility. Per se, why can't he have a representative? And as long as we can navigate those questions. In other words, that we feel that the representative, has integrity, is not lying on his behalf, is not going to present the case in a way, that undercuts the effectiveness of the Beis Din system. But if there's a din of umdu shnei anashim bedin, right, both on the amida level, like the posture question, like standing, sitting, like edim, and or the need for the Balidinim themselves to come to court, if that's an issue, just like we talked in the very beginning of the year, right? There's an Isser Arkos, right? But you don't have to go to court. So you could say you don't have to go to court because you can be Mochel, you could be Mevater, you're Tzviya, it's Dini Maminis. No one forces you to pursue justice in Dini Maminis. That's a right that you have. But if you are interested in justice and you're not being Mochel, right, so then the Isser of Arkos is a way of establishing that Balei Dinim are part of the system. So maybe Balei Dinim have a posture, and maybe Balei Dinim, it's a davar shebegufo to be a bal davar. Maybe we're makbid to hear dafka from the Balei Dinim. Just like when it comes to Edim, that's where Itamar was coming from a second ago in a very interesting way. Meaning, just like there's a din of mipiyam velo mipiksavam, which is part of the story of which is, the role, the formal role of Edim, maybe there's a din of Aldavar in that way as well. So when it comes to that question, there still may be a huge difference between, several things. A Shliach Bezdin who makes house calls, is the easiest thing, to justify. Unless you say, no, part of it is going to Bezdin, being in Bezdin, right? But at least that's not a lawyer. That's an objective court representative, right? What's the court clerk or whatever who, is serving that function. Even that's not so obvious, but that's one thing. But somebody who is your personal advocate, that's a much different kind of a question. So again, is it only about emes and sheker and ha'aza, as we'll see in a moment, or is it about the umdu shnei anashim bedin? There could be a shlichus harshah slash component as well. Right? In other words, so far I'm suggesting that if there is something fundamental here, it's about the role of Balei Dinim in the system. The truth is that it may be a totally different issue, totally, maybe they overlap, but a different issue, and that is a hilchos shluchin b'shutfin issue. Namely, can a Baal Davar, right, appoint a shliach? Can you be the shliach of a Baal Davar? Is there enough jurisdiction or authorization? Is the shliach doing enough to qualify to be a Baal Davar? What do I mean by that? Again, I've made allusion to it, certainly in the past, a little bit this year, certainly last year on Kiddushin. Rab Chaim was of the opinion that the yisod of shlichus is really samchut. It's, giving authorization or jurisdiction to someone to do on your behalf. Reb Chaim thought that ein shliach l'dvar avera, and the problem of ein shliach l'dvar many mitzvos, right? Commonly, you know, because of the Tosas Rid and then the Ksos, called the problem of Dover Shebegufo, are really two sides of the same coin. You can't appoint somebody to be, not everybody agrees with this, but as Reb Chaim said, you can't appoint somebody to be a shliach of the Bar Aveira because you have no bailus to do that. You can't give somebody authorization or jurisdiction to do something that you don't have control over, or that the Torah, that the Rabbonu Shalom, you know, doesn't, you know, authorize. So you might tell him to go burn down the other guy's barn, or even if that isn't an Aveira, we'll talk about that next year, I guess, or to do an Aveira on your behalf, right? Meaning it doesn't, it's meaningless. It's a chuchu tula. So too, if I tell him to put on tefillin for me, where's the tziruf? And where's the samchut that I'm giving him, right? There's a tziruf problem, and in some cases, also a samchut problem. And that's the problem in shlichus. Shlichus l'dvar aveira, I'm sorry, in shlichus l'dvar mitzvah, share that in common. Shlichus require, that's what we talked about, you know, Tosis in Ksuvis, and Av Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, which tries to explain the rule, kol sheyeshno b'shlichus, yeshno b'tznav. Right? So, like, what does that mean? What's the idea behind that? So Tosaf basically says that, you know, the common denominator is this idea of bailus in jurisdiction. Right? If you can't impose conditions, right, you can't delegate it, and vice versa. The common denominator is this notion. And whenever it's a technicality that kol she'ena b'shlichus, you might not say ena b'tznav, right? So why am I telling you this? When you have a bal davar, if I tell somebody go out and be mekadesh an isha on my behalf, or be megarish, or acquire a field for me, right, or and so on, or be even being mafresh truma, a little trickier, even though that's one of the paradigms. The Rambam treats differently, though. Know? Maybe they don't need shlichus there, but basically, I'm asking somebody to do on my behalf something which is connected to me, which I can do, and which I can therefore farm out. I have jurisdiction. I can, you know, I can have somebody be, I can appoint somebody as my representative. But if we're talking about tzviya bebezdin, like, what is that? That's a clarification. Right, that's not a maisa bailus, or is it? An interesting question. Right, is there a difference in that between a toveya and the nitva? Also, an interesting question. After all, the toveya, right, is taking the initiative. Right, he's trying to be motzi mamon. You know, whatever claim he makes or won't make, you know, is regarding some sort of bailus. The nitva, on the other hand, is more passive, right? It's a defense, not a prosecution or an attack or an effort to be motzi mamon. Is there a difference between the tovei and the nitva? The problem of shlichus in a more passive, let's say, setting is highlighted, just mentioned very quickly again, big topics. Is reflected very much in Ishus. Right? There's a shliach laholacha beget and a shliach lekabbalah beget. A shliach laholacha beget is a very active posture. The shilcha. But the shliach lekabbalah beget is a very limited and a very passive role. Right? Because in the end of the day, the Baal can be Megarish Ishto Baal Karko. So for her jurisdiction, she has jurisdiction over, you know, technically what constitutes Kabbalah's a get, but she herself cannot refuse the get. Right? If it's Nichnas B'chatzera, or B'yada, Alpidin Dorais I'm talking about. She's Megureshes. Which is why the Rambam in Perek Vav, again, maybe why you need two Limudim. There's a lot of indications that might be different. Rambam in Hilchos Geirush in Perek Vav Halacha Tes has a very famous comment. Rambam talks about Shliach LeKabbalah. There is a Shliach LeKabbalah. Abraham says that Shliach LeKabbalah Beget works, but he just wants you to know Ha'isha she'asta shliach be'edim, get that in a second, va'amrla toli giti, bihayli biyadech, hareza shliach lekabala, ukila amrla itzkabli giti, b'yesh le'isha lasa shliach lekabala lekabala gita miyad shlucho shobala, uktana ina osa shliach lekabala, afa pi she'chatzera kone la gita kigdola, she'shliach kabala tzarech edim, ve'en me'idin ala katan, she'eno bendaz gemura. So the Ram says that the reason that a katana cannot be a shliach lekabalah is because ein meidin ala katan, right? She'eno ben das gemura. And the Ravid points out that that's very strange. Ravid says ein lo tam v'lo reach el atem gam atem the Rav shulchakem ma atem bnei das af shulchakem bnei das. So the Rambam that we happened to speak about earlier in Parak Beis Halach Aleph of Shulchan, right? We were talking about Ben Bris and so on. Nimsa shashliach ba'shaleach tzrichim liyos b'nei das. How come then the Rambam didn't quote the regular, you know, limud, which excludes ketanim from being a mishaleach or a shliach here? So the answer generally, Reb Chaim has a whole piece about this and it's Gerushin, the whole, you know, big diyun on this, but one of the answers certainly may be that shliach lekabbalah, and again, works in a very different way to begin with. It's not about farming out jurisdiction because she's passive. It's about basically expanding the hagdara of rishus, right? It's about extending yada. And since that's a totally different type of shlichus, as reflected by many other halachas, you might think that ketana would be fine for that, because a katan or a ketana can neither be a mishaleach or a shliach, because they don't have the capacity, you know, to be authorized, to be independent, to act, to carry out samchut, let's say, on behalf of someone else. They can barely do it for themselves, or they can't do it for themselves. But a different kind of shlichus, right, which doesn't, not based on samchut, which is based simply on the hagdara of yad, that's a different story. Therefore, the Rambam needs a whole different explanation. Shliach lekabbalah in kiddushin, not quite as passive, obviously, because there's a das element, the isha, as we discussed a lot last year, as I recall, fondly, I hope, in Perek Dalid, Hilchos Ishas Halacha Aleph, the Rambam's double formulation, and of course, Ein Isha Miskadeshes El Lertzona, the Ein Isha Miskadeshes, you know, Bal Korcha, the double formulation, and of course, rooted in the Gemara Daf Beis Amud Beis, and the Gemara in the beginning of the second parak, and numerous other, including Samachay with the Eidei Kiyum, you need Das Ha'abal, and you need Das Ha'isha. The question is, you know, but in the Maisa Kiddushin, we understand that there's still a big difference. Right, it's ki yikach ish isha. Talked about that a lot last year too. Below ki tilakach or ki tikach isha. Both of those are no good. And therefore you might again think that there's a difference between shliach l'halacha and shliach l'kabbalah. Although again, it's not comparable to gerushin, which is bal korcha the isha. So again, it's interesting, connected or not, I'll leave for another time, not right now. But the Rambam and the Ravid and Perek Gimel, Hilchos Ishas, Halacha Tezvav, discuss whether or not you need minui shliach ve'edim, and the suggestion of the Rambam must be mechalik between, you know, shliach laholacha and shliach lekabbalah. Maybe connected to that, maybe connected to Eidei Kiyum issues, but Eidei Kiyum issues may be connected. The point I'm trying to make is that, just briefly, that there is a lot, it's just interesting to note, we'll just say that. Where is Hilchos Shulchan in the Rambam? Where is Hilchos Shulchan in the Rambam? Shmuel. Where is Hilchos Shulchan in the Rambam? In what sefer? Yossi?
Kinyan.
Correct. So again, you know, it might be there for other reasons. Maybe most shlichuyos take place in the context of the Kinyan. And maybe that isn't a coincidence either. Maybe this is the Rambam's way of saying exactly this idea, which is that a shlichos is a form of, you know, giving over jurisdiction. Even if you're not being makne the object to the shliach, we'll get to harshon in a second, but there's a certain jurisdictional, you know, handing over of authority, which is a kind of a kinyan, essentially. Anyways, getting back to the point, so there can be, I think, three problems in lawyers. One problem, as I say, is the problem of proper representation and the likelihood, you know, that you are in any way decreasing, you know, the integrity or downgrading the integrity of the process. Either the, you know, the degree of proper representation for each individual, or somehow you're promoting, you know, a possibility, a greater possibility of shekel, or you're losing some of the safeguards, let's say, of emes. So the Rishonim talk about that. We'll see the Lishonos in just a minute, or I guess when we finish with this Tuesday. But some of them say, Ramban, right? Who has the line of the Ramban open? Right? The problem is that it's, you can't have a Meturgaman, and, or in IE, hard to know. You have the line of the Ramban? What the problem is? Alex?
With...
What he explains what the problem of Antler is. Can have an Antler.
Yeah. Here, the Polig Vamar Einu Rashai Shotes Sanhedre Shumas Mipia Turgaman Tainus Shal Sheker.
Ah, say again. Einu, what did we read the whole line?
Einu, Vika the Polig Vamar Einu Rashai Shalote Say Sanhedrin
Shumas Mipia Turgaman. That's a Gemara in Makos. Go ahead.
Tainus Shal Sheker.
Tainus Shal Sheker. Tainus Shal Sheker. And the Ritva.
Which has also a similar translation. The other time, after Shem Anto Yosef Tanim Atma Shosheker, or Yeshmi Atma.
Yeah, and the Rajba all over the place adds to it a bit of a stronger, interesting explanation. Namely, now what do you? One of the things you lose is it. What you lose is Ain an amayis panav b'fnei balchovo. Meaning, if you don't have, there are two problems. One is. Again, that's connected to Meturgaman, if that's a pragmatic level. Meaning, you lose something in translation. We're not really sure. The guy isn't as accurate, let's say, as the Baldavar, who really knows the story. It's a second-hand, you know, what do you call it? And B is you lose psychologically, right, the problem, the factor of Enon Emeis Panam Ufnei Balkova. I mean, the ability to look in the eye, what's that? Yeah, the Ritva has it also. Early, I think the Rajba is the first one to formally articulate that, and he does so. Anybody have a line in the Rajba? Yeah.
I have the Ritva.
What's the language of the Ritva?
After he explains why the for the Tobey is wrong, he says Gam Hanitva means Tam Shul Bafnei Maldino Kashanat Manamas.
Yeah. You have it? The Rajba?
Good. Meiz b'fnei balchovo sheyudea ha'emes k'mahu v'ashliach meiz sheinu yudea.
Yeah. Or, the way some of the formulations are, either sheinu yudea, or maybe sheyudea, but he doesn't have the same yiras hakavod, because, again, the relationship between the, you know, the parties is that he did him a favor. They had a previous bond. They have a personal connection, right? So dropping the ha'aza, you know, factor becomes an interesting question. The achronim in the tour, the poskim in the tour, are troubled. Well, if that's the case, should be no difference between tovei and nitva. It sounds like some of the rishonim here are suggesting that the problem is a problem for the nitva, but not a problem for the toveya. Why wouldn't there be a problem for Tobias too? And they try to address that. Okay? If you get a chance, look at that. I'll talk about it quickly.
So what does that even mean?
Oh, what mean?
Ha'aza for Tobias.
What do you mean? I mean, okay. Yeah, so the question is whether Eidon Amei, this is a general Machlokas Rishonim, which we will get back to later in the year when we get to the sixth parak stuff, and talk a little bit about motive mikzas, whether Eid HaMei is, you know, how, what do we, you know, Eid HaMei is based on a favor, or the fact that there's an imbalance in the relationship and you owe him, therefore you can't look him in the eye and lie to him? Or Eid HaMei is just based on the fact that they had a relationship, right? And that these two parties know each other and have dealings together. One second. I think I have the line here. Yeah, so what did Balkova really mean? Is it here? I'm going to say, look at a good place to look. It's not the only place to look. The Bach on in Siman Kuf Chaf Dalet, Yesh Lahakshos, B'Tovei Anami, Yishmu'u Tainos Sheker. Maishna Tovea Minitva. Ishlomar de Baso Shliach the Aidim Bulchud in Achanami, de Lomatsi Kaifl and Shmoa Tanosa. Tovea Minitva Shavin, Al Hachib Babar Shah, that's one answer. This is the question.
He's not assuming that Inna the Mayan Planet
Bachobar is that. What? It's on Sheker in general.
Right, that's not yeah. The Inna the Mayan.
So the Prisha, I'm just giving me the back, one second. So the Prisha. Picking up on this says, Shomas Tainus Sheker, Rotzalomar Mipnei She'ena Bosh L'Shaker, Minzeh Toveya, V'nimsa Midas Adin, Eina Nameyaz Pana B'fnei Balchovo, Lokev V'chenu L'Shon Raj, recording, Aval B'Mursha Shel HaToveya, He Omer She'yilman Amav L'Mursha Liton Sheker, right, Kishi Yiton B'atzmo, Nami Yiton Sheker, D'Midas Eina Nameyaz L'Shayach El L'Gabe Love, Shamava Asolotova. That's what he's saying. That's his answer. I know. He has a different... Virayala. This is the answer that he's giving to the question. Virayala zeh. Darei kofar akol. Very interesting. Potem edaraisa b'shnua. Dena nemeyaz. V'lo amrinon. Delechai mishum dena malva meyaz. L'toveya. Madaleisa v'gabe. Now, instead of saying ena nemeyaz is a factor, why not say there's always like an implicit ena nemeyaz in the other direction? Shema mina shahamalva meyaz. By Yoser Nira, that's his first answer, what you're saying, which is that it's dependent on the fact that he did him a favor. So it depends on Tovea Benitva. By Yoser Nira, Shiny Tovea, the Hutzrachulatakain, she yodan ima yde mursha kadeshalaye kalachabyacha noto maman chavero, viela cholam dina sayam. Based on the Gemara in the Yavla De Nina Stelis, the Gemara in Ksubas, on Daf Peches, right? That we're worried about, you know, what happens if you don't step in here. Masha'en came benitva, the lake in Nina Stelis. The Gam lo shaykh behaknas, lenaf sholem ebuhu ba'atzwa baldavar. So basically, he gives, because of Beis Yosef zela, shon of al Rambam, mashma fil tovea nami lo avid morsha. Then he has a different explanation for it. The point I'm trying to make is he asks the question.
He's never saying that.
He gives three answers. The first answer is the answer that you're giving, which is good, which is that, and there's a big question if you look at the sugi in general, about Ein and Emeiz, and all the sugis in Shas.
I thought you were asking the question, why isn't the Smara Shas Sheker?
He is.
Shai is the Tovea.
He is asking that question.
No, he's just asking why would Takana.
No, he's saying if the basis is the problem of Bosh L'Shaker, Rita, then why isn't that also a problem for the Tovea? Why is that only a problem for the Nitva?
But then he's saying if the problem is that Shasheker on both sides.
If the problem is Shasheker even because of Eino Demeyas, then it should be on both sides. That's what the Prisha said.
What is the name of the Mei?
Not the Bach.
No, what is the name of the Mei? Of course it's limited to the Nitva.
No.
But if you think it's a general Shasheker, then
I mean, you know what? Look at it, read it, and then we'll discuss it. But he says, no. In general, we know there's a debate about the scope of Ein HaMeis, right? I mean, Rashi, in a bunch of places, says that Ein HaMeis only applies to somebody who did you a favor. And other Rishonim think, no, you just can't look a guy in the eye, you know, who you know, I mean, it's an interesting psychological question, right? You know that he knows, right, the truth. And you know that he knows that you know that he knows the truth. Sorry, I just couldn't help saying that. And that's also an element of Aza. I mean, there's a debate here. But definitely these poskim, some of them, you're right, some of them are asking Chashash Sheker and Meturgeman, and some of them are asking very specifically in an amaze. Okay, anyways, my point is, we're not going to finish this now, but we'll finish it on Tuesday. I just want to give you the you know, general picture. There is a group of Mefarshim who think that the problem here is a problem of Sheker. It's a pragmatic problem. Sheker, Ha'aza, and they say interesting things about that, right? But per se, there's no hint that it has to do with the formality, right, of either the Amdishnei Anashim Betin, right, a kind of exeris akasuv that the Baldavar as a part of the process has to be invested in, or something having to do with a flaw, you know, again, in Shlichos, you know, that this is not a Davar Shenitan L'Shlich, it's kind of like a Davar Shebegufa, meaning, what are you giving the guy to do, to be towing? Not to do a mice on your behalf. And that, right, so that's one perspective. I would say that is the dominant perspective. However, what emerges from the Ritva in particular, do you have the language of the Ritva open? Is that there are two other factors. And one is the Amdu Shnei Anashim B'din, and the other one is Shlichus Itzah. You have the lines?
The Prophet Morsha says, the time we learn that by Tovei, the Shemach Alundas Morsha,
yeah, that the harsha, that then you might really require a harsha, makes it, you need a baldavar here. You cannot be a shliach le baldavar. If you turn him into a baldavar, that's fine. Others say it in a more moderate way, and that is that even if it's not that you were made him into morsha, maybe even making him into a shliach is fine. But either way, because there is mamon to be motzi al yaday this tviya, that is considered enough to be considered shlichos, as opposed to the nitva. What about the line of baldavar? The ritva? He says, because it's gom du shnei anashim bedin. No? You have the line? In the ritva here, on shuas. Louder. Right, but even the Kayim Ashenemar, it's Exeris HaKasuv, that the Baldavar has to be. Yeah, absolutely. So now, in light of this, again, we'll sort out the details when we come back on Tuesday, but the Ritva in Makos, not coincidentally, in my opinion, right? Shmuel does what? Just speaks about what? In Makos? I didn't see that one. I gave it, right? I did give it. What do you? Yeah, Aaron?
Is it that Mipia Meturgeman is related to Mipia Mipik Savam?
Exactly. He connects Mipia Meturgeman and Mipik Savam, and he discusses Eidos, of course, but Baldavar, right, in light of that. Again, in a very formalistic way. Can a Baldavar, the issue that Itamar raised before, can he send his, you know, Ksav to Bezdin, right? And what about Mipia Meturgeman for Baldavar? In the Gemara, in Makos, I'm Zayin Amidal, I mean, the Pasuk, which says Mipiam, is talking about what? What's Mipiam talking about? Jakey? Adim. On the other hand, the Gemara has a case in Makos, Hani, Leuze, whatever, and there's a Machlokas Rishonim, whether that case is Adim. It sounds a lot like it might be Balizbar, correct? So the point is, if the dinim of Edim, assuming that Mipik Savam and Turgaman are not just practical halachas, but they themselves are formal requirements, applying that to Bali dinim as well as to Edim is a huge kiddush. The Ritva, more than anyone else, was kind of open to this possibility. So I want to finish up just to go through the details very quickly. Who said what? We started with Tosis. I want to then just discuss quickly. What does the Rimagash say? What does the Ramban say? What does the Ritva say? What does the Rajma say? What does the Ritva say? And a little bit in the postgame, very quickly. And but again, these these shittas. A, can you appoint a lawyer? Who can appoint a lawyer, if anybody? Who can, who gets, you know, the you know, the you know, the home visit by, you know, Shlukei Mezdin? Part of the question that's interesting here a little bit, we're almost at the end of it, but we'll sum it up, is kol kvuda bas melech pnima a legal factor that is sufficient to really substantively, you know, allow you to, you know, to drop halachic formal halachic requirements, right? Can kol kvuda bas melech pnima work at all here, right? Even for Shluchei Bezdin, can it even work for an antla? Assuming that the problem is a serious problem. And what about Kvod Talmud Chacham? And what about V'kidashto Kvod Kohen Gadol? So there are several interesting elements to this question, which we'll sum up very quickly on Tuesday. Also Tuesday, very quickly, I want to talk about Bal Din Ba'amida. That's the next Gemara, but then, of course, the Tosis and Sanhedrin, the Tosis here, quickly. And then just go quickly ahead. I want to talk about Amida Be'edim and Smicha, meaning not Smicha, ordination, but leaning. You know, not standing, not leaning a little bit. But let's just go quickly. I want to get to Lamid, a little bit of Dvar, Midvar Sheker Tirch. I'll give you some details to look at, but just make sure that you know the Shaka Vataria well until Lamid Aleph, Omid Aleph, until Dunmino Amina, until, I'm sorry, Lapuke, Melech, and Mesachik Bakuvia. I want to go through that stuff, some of it quickly. A lot of it we did. Some of the Tosas on Lamed Amud Aleph and Lamed Amud Beis, we've done already. We're not going to do them again. But I want to get to Lamed Aleph and then quickly to Lamed Beis, the next big topic.